Bless the Lord.
I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, we have the message of John the Baptist, a mighty champion of God. John the Baptist, who came with a message, a life to prepare the way for the Lord. And he shows us how we're to be a witness for Christ by his life, by his words, by who he is as a person, and how he conducts his life. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" You might think it's not a very popular message to just tell people to change, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is turning from self to God. Repentance is choosing, instead of to follow my own way, to follow the way of Christ. Repentance is turning from sin and choosing to give up sin, to give up a life of sin, and to make Christ Lord. We know in Romans chapter 10 that God said, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And so baptism really is a picture of the life of Christ in our life. In a sense, God calls us to go through the process of baptism every single day of our life. Because baptism, of course, is a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And everything that we sing, when we sing these songs about lay me down and break every chain, and it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It really comes back to that process of how do I die to self? How do I give up self? How do I surrender self? How do I die to self so that I can have the resurrection life of Christ emanating from my life? That's the process of the Christian life every day of our life. The Christian life is not about trying hard, as we talked about how, you know, I love Dwayne's stories. Trying hard and doing things for Christ. It's about the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Amen. Where I die so that Christ can live. And so we're turning from our own way. We're resigning ourselves to die so that Christ can live in us. We're making him Lord. And John the Baptist is preaching the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus Christ is coming. This king, this different kind of king, is going to set up a kingdom that is not like any other kingdom, as he sang in the song, a king from majesty. His love is expressed through his blood. A different kind of king is coming. And John is preparing the way for this different kind of king. Jesus is about to begin his ministry. Jesus is about to reveal himself to the world. It says in verse 3, "This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 40 said, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. John the Baptist was a builder. John the Baptist was a constructor of highways. Really, John the Baptist was the constructor of the highway. When you think of the frontier and how the pioneers made the Transcontinental Railroad, and they had to blast their way through the Rocky Mountains, and they had to make the valleys level and the mountains low, and they had to make a way for that Transcontinental Railroad to be brought together at Promontory Point, Utah, where they spiked the golden spike into the railroad. Well, John the Baptist was the ultimate designer of the highway for the Lord. He was preparing the way for the Lord. He was making straight paths for Him. He was a pioneer. He was making a way where it was hard to get to God. He was making a way to be able to get to God. Where it was, people didn't know the way to get to God. People were confused. They didn't understand how to get to this King. He was making the way straight so people could know how to get to God. John, in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 6, it gives us more illumination about this man, John the Baptist. It says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. You see, God is calling us to prepare the way. God is calling us to make straight paths for other people. God is calling us to be a witness of the light of Christ for others. You think of your co-workers. You think of your extended family members, friends, different ones. God is calling you to help make that path straight to Christ, to help prepare the way for Christ, so that they can find a way to meet this different kind of King, to make the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords the Lord of their life. It says in John 1:9, he came, 1 verse 8, he himself was not the light. John came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And so, John prepared the way for Jesus Christ. He prepared the way for the Lord by being a witness to testify of the Lord. We're called to testify of Jesus, so that through Him all men might believe. How do we testify? Do we get out our shovel and our bulldozers and our dynamite and start constructing a highway? The way we construct a highway to the Lord is that we share of Jesus Christ. We share our testimony of how God has worked in our life, how God has changed my life, how God has redeemed my life from the pit, how God has saved me, how God has helped me to give up sin and destructive habits, how God has helped to save my marriage, how God has helped me to be a better parent and relate to my young people, how God has helped our family. We share of how God has worked in our life. Amen. No one can argue with your testimony. I've heard it said, a test results in a testimony. As Christians, we know that God can use everything for our good. Romans 8:28 says, we know that God works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. He makes every challenge in our life a testimony. The challenges in our life help us to learn to depend upon Christ. And we can share with others that process, how we have learned to trust God, how we have learned to believe on God, how we have learned to depend on Jesus Christ. Back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. It says, John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. John's clothes and food were such that he showed that he was not of this world. He was not a man of this world. He was not indulging in the things of this world. It says his food was locusts and wild honey. Does anyone here eat locusts? Insects? You did? All right, tell us about it, Akira. Locusts and wild honey, camel's hair, a leather belt around his waist. All right? These things showed his lifestyle, that he wasn't indulging in the things of this world. People went out to meet John from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by John in the Jordan River. It was a baptism of repentance. They confessed their sin and were forgiven. And that's one of the greatest things in life. That's what we can share with others. I've been forgiven.
Amen.
The burden of sin on my life has been released. I'm no longer burdened down by sin. I'm no longer hampered. I am free of the entanglements of sin. I am free to live the life that God created me to live. But when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, John said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" These Pharisees and Sadducees were self-righteous. They're self-righteous Pharisees. We talked about that some today. They were coming to judge John, but really they were coming to judge God's Word. They were coming in judgment on God's Word. When we hear God's Word, it's very important that we receive God's Word with good soil hearts. John was preaching the truth of God's Word. In a day in which many are forsaking God's Word, may we always stay committed to the truth of God's Word. Because if we muddy the truth of God's Word, we will lose the power that comes with God's Word. We will lose the power of the Holy Spirit. We must stay committed to the truth of God's Word. He tells the Pharisees in verse 8, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." He's telling the Pharisees, true repentance brings fruit. And that fruit is the demonstration of Christ in us. And he says, "And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. We have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." We need to understand, and the children here need to understand. And we need to look up to our parents. We need to emulate our parents. But we need to understand that each one of us has got to come to Christ. Each one of us has got to come to the cross of Christ. Each one of us have to look in the eyes of Christ and that cross and decide whether we're going to follow this Jesus Christ who is dying for our sins. We cannot depend upon our family pedigree. There are no grandchildren in God's kingdom. All of us must come to Christ. We can't depend upon our parents. We can't depend on the fact that I grew up in a Christian family or even grew up in a pastor's family. All must face the cross of Christ. And that's why Nathaniel is publicly obeying the Lord today by getting baptized. Verse 10. John says, "The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Jesus said in John 15:2, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Verse 11, John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance." He's saying by their fruit, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had not shown true repentance. In order for a person to be baptized, that person needs to show the fruit of repentance. This fruit of Christ, this demonstration of Christ coming from his life. He said in verse 11, continuing on, John said, "But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry." John knew his role. John knew that his role was preparing the way for Jesus. He knew his role was serving Jesus. And we need to know our role. Our role to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. We are not Jesus. We are not the Christ. We are not God. Our job is to point the way to Jesus Christ in other people's lives. He says, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." In Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call."
Amen.
These are the three experiences that God calls all of us to have in our walk as Christians. Number one, God calls us to be born again. We're born again by coming to Christ and repentance and faith. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, that's making Him Lord. Instead of me being Lord of my life, I'm making Him Lord. And believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And so first of all, we've got to become born again. We're born, of course, the first time when we came out of our mother's womb. All right, but we've got to become born again by the Spirit of God. We've got to come to Christ and decide to follow Him and to call upon Him. Save me, Lord. Save me. I need to be saved.
Amen.
The Bible says, "All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved."
Amen.
The Bible says, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He will give the right to become a child of God." Not a child born of natural descent or a husband's will, all right, but born of God. Born of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
God will save you. And if you have never been saved, see one of us after church. You can be saved today. And to make sure that you've been born again. And then the second experience is to be water baptized. To identify with Christ in the waters of baptism, to identify publicly with Him and saying, "I am a Christian, I'm a Christ one, I'm a follower of Christ, I am guilty of being a Christian." All right, I'm publicly communicating to all these people here that I am a Christian. Jesus said, "He who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." And then the third experience is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. We receive it as a gift. Just like we receive salvation when we turn to Him. We receive it as a gift. The baptism of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. Being born again. Being water baptized. And receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, it says, "His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear His threshing floor, gathering His wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." See, when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a fire that comes into our life, that the chaff of our life is burned away, that the dross of our life is burned away, and we become on fire for Jesus Christ to make a difference with our life. Verse 13, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?'" Here we have cousins. John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. Are there any cousins here? There's a few cousins here. We got the Phillips cousins. We got the Schweitzer cousins. All right. We've got, I know the Swanners got some cousins. We all got cousins, right? Oh, then the Johnsons. You know, they got tons of cousins. All right. And sometimes cousins are like brothers and sisters. All right. John the Baptist is the older cousin. Jesus is the younger cousin. And Jesus is coming to get baptized. And so there's this dynamic that is going on. There's a lot of humility taking place here. There's a lot of deferring going on. There's a lot of you be first going on. There's a lot of saying it's not about me, but it's about God. Some very important lessons for us and our children to learn. And so John, the older cousin, the older one, is saying, I need to be baptized by you, the younger one. And Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is saying, I need to be baptized by you, John. Verse 15. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. John consented. God was using John to publicly declare Jesus as the Christ and declare the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. Jesus again, he said, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill our righteousness. Again, Jesus is our example. Jesus didn't have to submit to a baptism of repentance. Jesus had not done anything wrong. Jesus had not sinned. He did not have to repent from living in sin. But Jesus wanted to set an example to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was saying, I agree with John's message. Jesus is saying, I am embracing righteousness. I am embracing being in right standing with God. Verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Yesterday, I saw a music video from the 90s. And it was a very, very sad to me, especially as I was thinking about this baptism service today. And the refrain that kept going over and over and over, maybe some of you will remember, might have been Phil Collins. And he said that the Father was saying, you're not my son, you're not my son, you're not my son. You're not my son, you're not my son. He was saying to his son, you're not my son, you're not my son. How could you be the way you are? You're not my son. Well, it's just the opposite with God.
Amen.
It's just the opposite with God the Father. This is my son.
Amen.
With him I am well pleased. As Duane shared in the Lord's table, when his daughter writes a picture for him, draws a picture for him. All right, I am pleased. And so the same perspective that our Father God has toward Jesus, the same perspective of our Father God that has for us, of course, we are illuminated in how we are to be toward our sons, toward our daughters. This is my son. With him I am well pleased. This is my daughter. With her I am well pleased. And our Father is pleased when we obey him. When we obey his instruction to confess Jesus publicly, when we obey his instruction to show our allegiance to Christ through baptism, he is pleased. Again, he said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. And so this champion John, he served the Lord. He served the purposes of Christ's kingdom. He prepared the way for the Lord. And that's what the Lord God calls us to be as well. To prepare the way for the Lord in people's lives. To testify of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'd like to invite the worship team to come on up. They're going to lead us in a song of praise and worship as we get ready to bless Nathaniel in Jesus' name.